All right, so I'll be honest. I didn't eat because I was so nervous. So you'll either hear my stomach growling or my heart beating. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for the words of encouragement and truth that we hear each week here. Lord, I know that we are able to receive those in other places, but I thank you for providing place and people here at Region where we are able to be able to reveal the chains that have encompassed us, and that we're able to rejoice in the freedom we find in you. And Lord, that we're able to walk alongside each other as we keep our eyes focused on you. I just pray for your glory and your spirit in this place tonight. In your name I pray, amen. Hello, my name is Kyla, and I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from lust and fear of man. I remember when I first started coming to Region that I felt like a fraud for saying the words, I have a new life in Christ. It's not that it wasn't true. I became a believer as a child, was raised in the church, and have long been discipled by a faithful community of believers. I knew that because of Jesus' death on the cross, I had been made new and was set free from my sin. But most of the time, I did not feel that way. And I sure had a lot of baggage that proved I hadn't lived like it was true. My struggle with lust began early in my life when I was about 11 years old. It was around this time that I saw pornographic images for the first time through email spam, and I quickly became addicted. A Pandora's box had been opened, and with it was unleashed a tremendous sense of shame that pierced me to my core. I was so ashamed of myself and was filled with disgust at myself. But instead of trusting the Lord and seeking help from others, I hid my struggle. I didn't reveal it. As I got older, I tried as hard as I could to manage this particular sin on my own. I would go months and even years sometimes having victory over it, or what I thought was victory. But then a single relapse would make me feel completely overcome with defeat and shame. I was absolutely terrified of anyone knowing this ugly and shameful part of myself. It's not that there weren't plenty of other ugly parts of myself, but I had come to believe that this was somehow my unforgivable sin. I also believed I was completely alone in this struggle, because this is what guys normally struggle with, and not girls, especially not Christian girls. I believed I was shameful, unforgivable, and alone. It wasn't until I attended Region about a year and a half ago that these lies began to lose their grip on me. Another girl in my groundwork group, who I now consider a sweet friend, bravely shared her similar struggle. God used that moment for me to finally have the courage to also confess before the women in that group, and after doing so, I felt like a huge and heavy burden had been lifted. In the following months, as I went through each step, God continued to work in my heart as he exposed many other lies and idols that had taken root as a result of the shame I had carried with me for most of my life. In steps 1 through 3, God began to reveal to me how I had been deceived by that original lie Satan told Adam and Eve, that God is untrustworthy. I realized how I struggled to trust that he truly loved me, that he cared about me, and was pleased with me no matter what I did. I didn't fully trust that the promises of a life of freedom and grace that were proclaimed in the Bible were really for me. Instead, my heart bought into the lies that God was angry and displeased with me, and it depended on me to earn his approval. These lies led to idols of acceptance, control, security, and pride, and a lot others. In doubting that Christ's payment on the cross was sufficient for me, I depended on my works and what others thought of me in an effort to hide my deep sense of shame. Going through steps 4, 5, and 6 was an especially powerful time as the Lord was helping me move from just knowing about his grace to actually embracing his grace for myself. In his letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul writes that after pleading with the Lord to take away the thorn in his flesh, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, says Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I saw God's power of grace at work as I began believing and walking in truths. Truths like John, 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And truths like Ephesians 3:12 that reminded me that through faith in Jesus alone, I can approach God with freedom and confidence. A few months ago, I found myself beginning to stumble again. I was crushed. I had already been through Region and was now even a leader, so I should pretty much have it all together, right? The voice of Satan, the accuser, was loud as I was flooded with those old condemning thoughts. You are shameful. You are disappointing. You are unworthy. I knew I had come to a kind of crossroads. I could turn one way and not confess to anyone and try to minimize and manage this on my own, like I had always done before. Or I could put into practice all that God had been teaching me the past year, which would mean trusting him that his grace is sufficient and that true victory is found in confession and repentance. When I thought about continuing to fight this battle on my own, I was reminded of when the Israelites were attacked by the Amalekites in Exodus 17. Stay with me. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning the battle. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites would start winning. And when his hands got tired, his brother Aaron and another man named Hur came along either side of him and held his hands up for him. And what is powerful to me as I imagine this scene is how Moses' outstretched arms remind me of a posture of praise. And as long as Moses remained in this posture of praise, there was victory. And there is victory when my heart has a posture of praise before our mighty and good God. But just like Moses' literal flesh was weak, my fleshly heart is also weak and prone to wonder, and that is when the battle suffers. I did confess to my community group, my Region group, and my sister, and as they walked with me through my repentance plan, I was overcome with gratitude for these women. Just like the men who came alongside Moses, these women helped me hold my hands up when I was too weak to. When the accuser sought to use those old foes of shame and fear to defeat me, God in his grace used his people to establish his truth and victory over me. God has used Region to remind me of the unending process of transformation I'm going through this side of eternity. He has used it to help me see my desperate need of God's word and God's people to remind me daily of his true character and my true identity in Christ. He has used it to help me live the message of the gospel one day at a time. And that message is this: for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's Romans 3:23 through 24. My name is Kyla, and I do have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from lust and fear of man. Thank you for letting me share a part of my story of God's ongoing grace in my life.